Blog Talk Radio.
Lisa, hi, it's Tariq. Can you hear me? So, probably going to have to call her back. Everybody that's listening now or is going to listen later. Anyway, but let me go see what I can do. Okay, so you guys hang. Oh, there she is. Can see if it wishes up. Can you hear me now?
Hi, Tariq.
Lisa?
Hello?
Okay. Lisa. Okay, Lisa, I'm going to go get you on the other line. So hang up and I'll call you right back. Okay. Anyway, guys, I'm sorry about the delay. Hold on just a second.
Hello?
Okay.
Tariq?
Hold on, Lisa.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Calls together and we'll be good.
Okay,
can you hear me?
I gotcha.
Okay, good. I'm not sure what happened, but hey, it's all good. You can always work something out.
That's right.
Anyway, so it's good to see you, hear you, and everything. And for you guys that are calling in now and are listening later, welcome. Okay, we're glad you're here, whatever time you get here. Any time is better than no time. That's my philosophy, all right?
I love it.
Yeah, it sounds like my dating life, too.
Okay. Oh, you're silly.
Anyway, yeah, right, I can be. Anyway, I'm glad you guys are here today. We've got a great show planned for you. And let's see what we're going to talk about. And how to get your children to believe and respect you more. Has any of you ever had a problem with that? I know I have, right? Lisa,
yes.
Have you? Yeah.
Oh,
I think
yes.
We do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, God bless us all. So, I have a daughter who she is. I'm 5'3½", and my daughter is 5'7", almost 5'8". And she had a temper when she was younger, really bad one. And I told her, gosh, a couple of minutes ago, I said, "You don't realize this, but I was really afraid of you because she would explode." And, you know, people go, "Oh, that's awful. Can you discipline her?" I did. You know, you can discipline a child, but at some point in time, the child's got to take it up for his and herself and say, you know, this isn't working. This behavior is not working for me. I got to change it. And we went through hell and high water with her. Her dad and I both did, and we divorced when she was much younger, when she was 2 years old. And, I was able to talk to her pretty recently, not one conversation, but several of them. And, you know, she goes, "I had no idea you were afraid of me." I go, "Yeah, I was." And and it was just scary because, when our parents were growing up, they didn't deal with this. We do. And it doesn't mean you're a bad parent. It just means that there's a lot of things that we didn't have back, you know, that they don't have now, that we had back then when we were growing up. And yet my parents tell a different story. They said that life is always a challenge with kids. It just is. So what's your thoughts on that, Lisa? Because I know you've got two boys and, three now because you got your grandson, right? So I think he's the sweetest out of all of them personally, but I may be wrong about that.
Well, I think so too. Yes, I think so too, but I'm a little partial. You know, when you were talking about the challenges we face with raising children and, you know, boys, girls, whichever, you know, as a parent, I think that was an understatement, Tari, because you don't, coming into motherhood, it was all like roses and, oh my gosh, I have a baby and, oh my gosh, this baby's going to love me forever and, oh my gosh, this baby's going to depend on me for the rest of his life and so on and so forth. And I mean, at least for me, and I know you've had your challenges as well, that was not the case. That, you know, that's one of the reasons why I have chosen to stay away from social media, because I don't know anybody who has a pristine family situation or a pristine parent-child relationship, because anybody who hasn't had challenges in raising a child is basically living under a rock. And, you know, not that I gave my mom, you know, a lot of trouble. I did not. And if she was alive today, she would tell you that. But with that said, there was a time where she and I just could not see eye to eye on things. I was never, ever disrespectful to her. We would have our, you know, discussions on the phone or in person or whatever. But then, you know, I would vent after I didn't see her or after I got off the phone with her. But that doesn't mean that I was ever disrespectful. And I just think in our world today, as sad as it is, my perception is that there are so many parents that want to be friends with their children instead of being a parent for their children. And that is going to cause, again, my perception and my perspective is it's going to cause problems. How do you gain respect from your child? Gosh, I mean, I think that's the million-dollar question, Tree. I really do believe, though, that as a parent, we have to hold true to what the role of a parent is. And
right.
If you sway from that leadership role, I'm just going to say a leadership role, then your children aren't going to respect you because they're not going to see a stern type of approach. And I don't mean like, you know, physically hitting your child if they do something wrong. No, I'm just saying follow through with consequences. You know, if you tell your child not to do something and they, you know, continuously do it, then there's going to be consequences for it. At the same time, if your child is doing something that's very positive, there should also be consequences for it. So there has to be a reward for good behavior, but there's also consequences for bad behavior.
Right.
What do you think?
I think that's true, too, as well. There's consequences for rewards for good and consequences for bad. And you're going to get both. That's just the way it is. And I know that. My daughter and I, my goodness, you know, I'll never forget grounding her. And I put her in her room, right? And she must have been about four, maybe five. She comes walking out there, and I said, "Why are you not in your room?" I was thirsty. I was like, "You wait, and you just go back to your room. You're not going to die because you got another 15 minutes, right?" You know. And so those are things that I did with her. But she, her dad and I were, you know, were divorced, and he would talk to her, and so you got to realize, okay, who is her main influences? So her dad would talk to her, and her dad and her are very close. But I also think that I needed probably to be really involved in that more than I was, and that's looking back and seeing my own mistakes. Because he would talk to her in a way that was, you know, he wasn't supportive of me. And, you know, now he is, okay, more so. But, yeah, that's what I see. And her dad would let her buy with stuff. I think there's always a parent that is more strict than the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to do it over again, I would not tolerate some of the stuff I would about. Now, her dad was good to her and, you know, and everything, but I would not allow him to be the main person that she talked to. And I was really intimidated with his experience because he was the oldest of 10. He came from an Irish Catholic family.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah. So, but you know what? I had some good advice. I have good advice now. And so that's what I do see. And then the other thing is, if you say something, then you be able to back it up. You don't overpromise and underdeliver. If you're going to get, you know, and I believe in spanking a child. I do, and it's not something that you abuse, but I believe that spanking a child is necessary, grounding a child, however you want to do it, and those things are important. But I want, and my daughter does. She goes, "I look at you now." She goes, "And you were strict with me." And she goes, "I would run to," she called her dad, Papa at the time, "I would run to Papa and tell him." And then he would try to get me to relax. She would go over there. So it was a hard deal there. But I really, really remember a couple of years ago, I said, God, I would like to have a great relationship with my daughter. And he told me two things that were going to happen. And they happened a few months ago. And so, you know, connecting and communicating better. And that's what I see. And I told her, I said, you are not a victim here. I said, you made the choices you made with your dad. And your dad loves you. And I get that. I said, but you know what? You are not going to throw me under the bus and embrace him. I'm not going to let you do that.
Good.
And, you know, because that's what kids will do. They'll play a parent against the other parent.
Oh, sure. Yes.
And that's something, you know, that I understand well. But you gotta be strong with your kids. Whatever you say, you mean, and you don't back up. You don't do that. You know, you stand your ground. And I think that sometimes it's hard to do, is stand in your ground. And don't you? I mean, what do you feel?
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, it's so hard. And I use this term loosely, but it's so hard to discipline your child because it's, especially at such a young age, because I don't know that they really quite understand, but you have to follow through. Again, if they do something that you've told them not to do and they continue to do it, there has to be a consequence for it.
Right.
You know, and I can speak for my grandson now because, you know, I'm living this day, pretty much 3 days a week. You know, when we tell him, stop whatever, XYZ, whatever you're doing, and he continues to do it, then we're like, okay, if this is what you're doing, then you can't play with this particular toy anymore. You know, you have to learn to behave differently and then you can play with this toy, whatever. And we've stuck with our guns. I mean, we really have. And he has really taken to the consequences of his actions. So he knows when we tell him no, he's not going to do it. Now, I can also say when I was raising my two boys, and especially when they were in high school, which, oh my God, I mean, parents going through high school, adolescent age children, how we ever make it, I don't know, but there's definitely God and the angels watching over us.
Absolutely. Right?
Both of my boys had to pay some consequences for some decisions that they made when they were in high school, and it was ugly. I mean, their responses were ugly. I will say, though, with my oldest son, he has now said to me, Mom, I now understand why you did the things you did and the consequences that I had to pay for my actions. And I don't know if it's because he now has a son. I don't know if it's because he's, you know, older now. He's in his mid-30s. I'm not really sure what, you know, transpired for him to admit. But once you're in that position, I think you have a lot more respect for your parents, you know, when you are going through it yourself. And I'm pretty sure you agree with that.
Yeah, I do. I realize that. I tell you something right now with your children, and I'm going to say this, people that are listening now or later, I feel that her dad and I were supposed to meet and marry, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, if I had the what I know now, looking back on it, on him, would I have ever chosen him? It was worth my daughter, and I get that. But
yes.
My daughter, I think, was always supposed to be born. So whether she came through somebody else or through her dad or a different mother or whatever, my daughter was supposed to be here. And I know I was supposed to be her mother and he was supposed to be your dad. But if I had it to do over again, I would really look more closely at my choice of men and of marriage and all that. I didn't. I just thought love is love, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that sounds awful or horrible, and I'm sorry if it does. But I have a beautiful daughter. It was every pain I've ever had. And I went through, gosh, I had to have a C-section. I went through literally almost 48 hours of labor.
Oh, my. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That makes me hurt.
Yeah, made me hurt, too. They go, do you want a C-section or do you want a I go, give me a C-section. Let's get this, you know, because I was ready to meet her, you know, face-to-face. But I do know that they say that biology is in everything, and it's not. But I will tell you this. You look at your husband or your wife, and I can say the same thing about wives because I think I'm a better person now, but I think that we need to look a little bit closer at our mates and see what their struggles are, what their good stuff is. Because her dad has been amazing and wonderful to her and at times with me. But I think that we need to look at that closer. I do. Because I know that and maybe I had to marry him to be where I'm at today. I don't know. Okay, but I would look closer at the mates that you choose and make sure that what are things that you want. You know, you want your man or your woman to be there with you through your lifetime and grow with them and build a life with them, right? And you want them to have stick-to-itiveness. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but, you know, you want to be stick with you, good times and bad, and right. I think that's important. The other thing that I think is important too is to have a love for God and God's angels and also Jesus and Holy Spirit. I truly believe that, because if you got that kind of glue, you're in a good space. So, what do you feel about that? Is that true for you? You know,
agree, absolutely agree. And you know, Tariq, you know, listening to you discuss, you know, what you would have done different. I think if we look back at the choices that we made in our life, I do believe that those choices brought us to where we are today.
Okay.
I got married very young. I can't speak for you, but I was very, very young. I wasn't even 21 yet when I got married. And I have two children. Love them. Absolutely love them. Would I have changed anything? You know, I can't sit here and say that I would have, as far as, you know, the father of my children, because I was brought to the absolute love of my life as a result of that marriage, if that makes
right.
any sense. And, you know, my husband and I have talked about that, you know, on several occasions. I'm like, gosh, why didn't I meet you, you know, when I was younger? And he's like, because we weren't ready. We weren't ready at that point in our life to be together.
Right.
And I was like, God, I never looked at it that way. So, you know, for me, that's what I have to say. But it still boils down to, as a parent, what we have to do to raise children that are respectful, that are respectful of us, that respect us. I think laying a foundation eventually come around. Will we face those bumps and bruises? Oh, my God, absolutely. Sorry, I'm getting in the car. I'm not driving. I'm a passenger.
All fun. Where are you going?
Yeah.
That's it. Inquiring minds. I'm asking.
Oh, no, you're fine. We're just meeting some friends for dinner. That's all.
Oh, fun. Okay.
Yeah,
I love that.
No problem. But, you know, I do have to trust my faith in knowing that I laid a good foundation for my children. And I'm trying to do the same thing with my grandchild when we do have that time with him, to basically say, you know, I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing what I know. I'm doing what I've learned. And I can only hope that one day that they will reflect back and appreciate what we have set in front of them as their leader or mentor or, you know, somebody that they look up to. It's definitely a hard situation being a parent.
It's not easy. Yeah, it is. Now, I tell you something. Recently in the past, I went through a whole transformation. So I met somebody who I, you know, we were going to marry and build a life together, and we were together for about 3 years. But one of the things that I learned that, when I've been by myself now since 2020, I know you're like, Tari, you need to, and I'm working on that, you know, but you have certain qualifications that I want, and I want to make sure that I am. First of all, I want to be a believer, which I am, and I want to marry a man or be with a man and eventually get married to him who is a believer, and I also don't want him to smoke. It's hard for me to tolerate that, and that's me. I'm a non-smoker, but I'd probably be somebody who's a smoker, so that's hard for me to be around somebody who is a non-smoker, and so to each his own. But one of the things that I've been doing a lot of reflection and a lot of researching and a lot of studying and reading passages out of the Bible and reading stories and praying and meditating And one of the things that I have really worked hard on is that I and I'm sure a lot of us have carried around pain from our past, right?
Yes.
And relationships. So I've had that pain, and it's not healed. Now, most of it's healed, but I have had to work on it with God and Jesus and Holy Spirit and all the angels to help me heal it. So that, because I think, not that I think, I know that if we're carrying the pain around, it affects our relationships and the choices that we make.
Agree.
So, all right, so that is something that I do. You know, with Rob, I've been able to, I hope it's okay to say his name, I've been able to, like, okay, I don't want to be with him anymore, and I let him know that. If he, it doesn't matter how, just it, and you know, he needs to be with somebody who wants to be with him. I don't. But one of the things that I did, and I've been doing the past few months, is like, okay, what areas of pain do I have, you know, still there? And if you got an area like I'm pissed off because he did this or he cheated on me, because I hear that a lot with the coaching that I do, he cheated on me, he didn't pay attention to me, he ignored the kids, you know, all these things, and it's painful, and you hear those, that you hear somebody talking about it, you know, do you not think, because they do, they bring that pain to every relationship they have until they heal it. And then when they heal it, then they give themselves the greatest gift of all, of being able to love with their whole heart rather than 20% or whatever, 40%. And that's something that takes a little bit of, you know, study, and also to say, I'm going to let this go because it doesn't serve me, and I know it doesn't serve him, you know. And then, you know, that's actually in the Bible, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I'm not saying that your neighbor has to be literally your next-door neighbor, but when you love someone and you forgive them and love them as yourself, then you're a lot more free to have more love, more joy, and be able to give more love. And so that is something I know to be so true. And
yeah,
that's what I've been working on, okay? And you think, oh, that's no big deal. It is. It really is. I'll tell you this, how big a deal it is. And I don't mean to be going off on a tangent here, but I had a challenge with somebody who I've known for years. And I said, okay, Holy Trinity, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and all the angels, what do you want me to do? And then they said, send her love. And this was a few months ago. I go, I don't want to send her love, that's what I'm thinking, right? And then I kept getting, send her love. And so I did, and I continue to send her love. And even when I feel something about the past, I just send her love, send myself love too, and I've been able to let it go. Now, out of that, I don't want to be close friends with her, okay? And I'm sure she doesn't with me, all right? But I can respect her and send her love, okay, and wish her the best. So, you know, that's, and I started doing that. I did that with my ex today, and I'll do it later on because I want him to be happy, and I don't want him to not be happy with somebody. I don't think that's my right to choose, and I see a lot of women do that, more women than I do men, okay? I don't know why that is, but men do it too. I'm not saying that, but, you know, letting the past go and forgiving that man or that woman is huge. What do you think?
It is. It really is. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with this. It's a Hawaiian prayer. It's a Ho'oponopono prayer. Basically, and this, I don't take this literally, but it's basically like saying to this person, I'm sorry, forgive me, thank you, I love you. And
oh, that's
by saying, it's absolutely a beautiful prayer, and I have been saying this when I say my prayers at night. I've started to include it, and it's made a huge change in my mindset because I'm picturing this person who I love, which is my youngest son, and I also love my oldest son, don't get me wrong, but my youngest son is the one that's giving me the challenges, and I have to consistently say, I'm sorry, forgive me, thank you, I love you. And that's been a huge release for me because it comes as part of the forgiveness that the Bible directs us to forgive. And forgiveness is for us. It's not for the other person. So it doesn't mean that we let the other person get away with whatever they did to hurt us, but it's releasing the emotions. And you and I talked about this earlier today. To come to a point of peacefulness and comfort with yourself is a mindset. And it's going to take time to get through whatever challenges we're all experiencing. This isn't like a light switch, you know, that you can flip on and off. For me, it's taken me almost 5 years to get to this mindset where I can say, you know what? I'm at peace. I wish I had the relationship with you, my youngest son, that I wish I had in years past, but things have changed. You've changed. I've obviously changed. Life circumstances have changed. And it's time for me to let go of the past, just like you said, let go of the past and move forward, whatever that looks like. Because you're only going to allow yourself to live in this, like, pitiful state. And we talked about that earlier today, too. Joyce Meyer says you can be pitiful or you can be powerful. And I'm finally now choosing to be powerful. And, boy, has it made a difference in my life. Yeah. And I know that you're going through the same thing.
Yeah, I am. And one of the things is that I tend to take things on that I'm the one that did all the wrong. And I don't do that. And because I'm not.
Right.
Now, I have done some wrong. You know, my daughter probably gets some of her temper from me. Just saying. So anyway, but she's
human. Like, we're human. We're allowed. We are allowed to have those emotions. We just can't live in those emotions. Which I know you have. I know I have for a long, long time lived in those negative emotions, and it was just eating me up. You know, I put on the happy face, as you do. You put on the happy face. But, you know, in the end, you have to think about you. And that's what we need to do, is think about ourselves.
Yeah, that's very true. And that's what we're doing. And one thing that I really appreciate about everything that you're saying is that did you and your youngest son, have you guys had peace? Or do you feel like that this is always going to be there? Or what's your thoughts on that? So,
you know, you and I haven't talked in a while on my personal situation, but I will say this. I think that we both have been able to identify what happened in our relationship. He has actually admitted to me things that he's done wrong. And obviously you can't take that back. You know, it is what it is. But to be able to move forward, just recognizing the circumstances and the situations that got us to where we are, has been huge for both of us. And so, you know, when you talk about parenting, I can be 90 years old and I'm still going to be a parent. And I told him that. I said, you know, I'm going to be 90, God willing. I've lived that long, but I will always be your mom. I will always be your parent. I will never, ever stop thinking of you as my little boy. And I don't mean it literally. It's just a figurative statement. But I do believe that there comes a point in relationships, parent, child, husband, wife, friendships, where you have to be able to identify where the breaks are,
right,
come to the conclusion and agree on where the breaks are, and be able to move forward. And that's not something that happens with the click of a button. It really isn't. It just takes a lot of time.
A lot of growth on that one. Good for you. Good for him.
Yes. Thank you.
And my daughter and I, we're doing the same thing. Love her with all my heart. I do. But you see, she doesn't annoy me so much anymore. It's who she is, right? And I can't think that she's got to change it if she feels that she wants to. And so that's been an interesting new thing that's happened. So we'll see. But I'm not putting any pressure on anybody. Most of all, I'm not putting pressure on myself. You know, I want to be a good mom and help her all I can. And that's what I do. So we're almost out of time. But it's been fun today. Lisa, I've enjoyed this. And thank you.
Thank you, Tari.
Yeah, so we'll see you next week, everybody. Does that sound good to you, Lisa?
Sounds great.
All right. I'm going to say a quick prayer to everybody that's having, if that's okay, everybody who's having challenges with their little ones. I say little ones, but most of the time they're big now. But,
yeah.
So here we go. Dear God, dear Jesus, dear Holy Spirit, and all of God's angels, thank you for being here. Thank you for helping us come to peace with this. Thank you for helping all the other parents and me, myself and Lisa included, to, with our children and with ourselves, and finding the best part of us and being the best version of ourselves, because I know that's what you truly want for us. And thank you for helping, and thank you for listening, and thank you for always being here. God never has a day off. Anyway, we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Very nice, Tari. Thank you so much.
Oh, you betcha. All right, and I'll catch up with you later. Take care, everybody. We'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.